is, what clothes, or maybe more importantly, whose clothes are we wearing? And I say we, meaning all Christians in general who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and born again into the new life which Jesus offers us, and specifically those of us here at Oak Grove. Is the clothing of Christ described there in Colossians chapter 3, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peacefulness, and thankfulness? Is that the type of clothing that describes us? Is that the type of clothing that describes me? And what about the clothing that we were supposed to shed when we came to Christ? Like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. I don't know about you, but from my point of view, those things seem to describe where much of the United States is today. After the events of this past week and another mass shooting, this time in Las Vegas, I think it's time that we stop minimizing events like that by saying, well, that's just one person, one bad man, or we live in a broken and hurting world, which we do, but it's about a lot more than that as well. That's like saying that we're going to be able to stop the mass shootings by implementing more background checks or eliminating those bump stops, or allowing more people to have more weapons. The truth is, we don't just live in a broken and hurting world where there are easy fixes. We live in a downright evil and sinful world, which is desperately in need of our Savior, Jesus Christ. While going to faraway places overseas on mission trips might serve their purpose, our primary mission field is in our own community, just outside those doors. In fact, if you were to talk to most Christians in other nations, they would say the biggest country in need of our Savior Jesus Christ is in the United States of America. Actually, the key to our passage this morning is found in verse 16. Let the word or the message of Christ dwell in you richly. The Bible version of the message reads, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. And in the Amplified version, it says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being. Yes, our passage says, put on or clothe yourselves. And we do have a very important role to play in it. But on our own, we cannot put on or clothe ourselves with all those attributes listed in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, no matter how hard we might try. We need Christ in our lives, and we need the Holy Spirit. And the primary way that it comes to us is through the spoken word of Christ. In my retreat or seminar class that I'm taking, otherwise known as the Transforming Community in Chicago, the focus of this past quarter has been on the spoken word of Christ, or how we read the Bible or Scripture. And if the only reason that we're reading the Bible is so that we can memorize Bible verses or so we can get more information, then we're reading the Bible for the wrong reasons. The main purpose of the Bible is to transform us back into the image which God originally created us to be. We place ourselves before the Word of God to let God transform us, to grow us, and to mature us by the work of His grace. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn them to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. It's where Jesus tells us about not being anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's a very important teaching in that passage from Jesus that we often overlook. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? So who is it that clothes the lilies of the field and causes them to grow? God. In fact, Jesus tells us that the lilies neither toil nor spin. Yet God clothes them and causes them to grow. Part of the problem today, why there seems to be so little spiritual growth among Christians in America, is that we are so busy toiling and spinning, doing things that has absolutely nothing to do with God. You see, grace is not only a gift from God, which causes us to repent of our own sinfulness and put our faith in Jesus Christ at that point of conversion in our lives. Grace is not only the gift of God, which leads us home to eternal life in heaven someday in the future. Grace is also the gift from God, which clothes us with the clothing of Jesus and causes us to grow and to be transformed into his image during those times in between. But the only way God's gift of grace can grow in us is if we stay planted in the right soil, conditions that are conducive to our growth. And that's by staying connected to God through his word, the written word of God and the living word, Jesus Christ. And it's not just what the lilies of the field are all about. It's also what Jesus' parables about the sower and the seed and the soil and the vine and the vineyard are all about. A man by the name of E. Stanley Jones puts it like this. The plant grows by receptivity to earth and air and sun. It learns how to take, to receive. It keeps the channels of receptivity open and the earth and the sun to do the rest. This is the secret Jesus is teaching us through the lilies, how they grow. When we learn that, we have learned the most important lesson life has to teach us. Without that, life is a fight to the end, a fight from our own center, a fight with our own resources, a fight which ends in sheer exhaustion. With God's grace, you can fight the good fight of faith with Jesus as the center, with his resources, and the end is triumphant exultation. Or as Ruth Halliburton, who leads the transforming community, puts it, in the end, this is the most hopeful thing any of us can say about spiritual growth and transformation. I cannot transform myself or anyone else for that matter. The only thing I can do is to help create the conditions in which spiritual transformation can take place. And these practices will keep me open and available to God, for him to clothe me and to grow me. And so as we look to the year ahead, may we realize that our primary mission field is not in some faraway country overseas, but it's right here in our own community outside those doors, where we live, where we work, and where we play. And may we make ourselves available to place ourselves in positions for God to grow us and to make us the mature Christians that he wants us to be. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you today. We want to give you thanks for all the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the blessing of our church family, for each and every person that you have blessed us with. And Lord, you call us not only to save us, you call us not only to give us eternal life someday in the future in heaven, but Lord, you also call us to be your people here on earth today, to be distinct and to be set apart from the world around us. And Lord, we acknowledge before you today that that involves the putting off, the shedding of our old selves, our old clothing, our old ways, and putting on the new clothing that you have given us through the grace and through the ability of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. In their name we pray. Amen.